Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, a new report came out from the Social Security and Medicare trustees saying there should be a little bit of good news, actually. And it's saying that the program won't be depleted quite as quickly. And a new Gallup poll shows just what retirees are most afraid of. And guess what, guys? It's not dying. So stick around. We're going to help you out here today.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you, too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker is here. I'm Steve Siddall. We have got a big show today. Kevin, hi. How are you, by the way?
I'm doing great. It is always good to be here, Steve.
And, you know, another nice day in the desert, I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's a beautiful sunny day, just like yesterday and the day before, actually.
They all run together.
They all run together, but we love it.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Barely a cloud in sight. I love it.
So we've talked about this many times, Kevin, the Medicare and the Social Security, you know, depletion dates. And this year, according to Medicare and Social Security, or according to the annual report from the Social Security and Medicare trustees, the Social Security has bumped a year, so 2035 instead of 34. Medicare, they're actually going 5 years, going to 2036. So
yes.
There you go. So all the problems are solved, Kevin.
Hey, nothing to worry about. No problems here. Look somewhere else.
Oh, man, yeah.
Right?
So what do you make of all that? I mean, I guess it's it's kind of good news, but it doesn't really change anything.
No, you know what? I think it's a tiny little bit of good news, you know, but I take it like, you know, that grain of salt, if you will. Because these numbers change, they can change every year, right? Because
oh, sure.
Based on how the economy is doing, and let's all remember that these programs are funded by the payroll tax that all of us pay. All of us that are actually doing it the way you're supposed to. The self-employed people, it's up to them to pay it, and they got to pay both sides. As a self-employed individual, you have to pay the employee and the employer side, so you pay twice as much. All right, but it's being funded by people on payroll. So when we have a strong economy and a lot of people are working, that means a lot more money is going into these programs because they're making money and they're paying their payroll tax. However, if the economy does go into recession or if things start to slow down or we start to see a lot more unemployment and people are losing their jobs, then that could swing that pendulum the other way, right?
Yeah.
They won't be paying payroll tax if they don't have a job. So I think right now it does look good. In fact, that's what we've been talking about, Steve. The markets are doing great. We hit all-time record highs just this week, both on the NASDAQ, the Dow, and the S&P 500. So I don't know where all this gloom and doom is coming from that some, you know, stations talk about on the television. I think it's all propaganda. It's all political BS, all right? The fact is the economy is doing really well. We have the longest streak of unemployment below 4%. Since World War II. That means we have the strongest working economy since World War II. Okay? Inflation has been coming down. The latest reports came in at just over 3% on if you annualize the latest inflation reports. So it's come down significantly. And guys, one thing, before you start casting all the blame on our politicians here about inflation, take a look around the world, all right? If inflation was truly caused by Biden or by any other individual, why would you be seeing 300% inflation in Argentina?
I think most people blame it on the pandemic, don't they? I mean, that's really where it started.
It is the pandemic, and that's why it's affected. Right. That's why it's affected everybody. But
right.
I get so sick of everybody blaming, you know, whichever side of the aisle they're on, they're blaming the other side for all the problems in the world. It's like if your dog pisses on your lawn in the wrong spot, it must have been, you know, must have been one of the politicians' fault. Right? Guys, it's not the case. We got what 436 members of Congress or something. So there's a lot of people that are influenced in decisions and direction of this country. The president just signs the paper, all right? It's Congress and the Senate that put it all together and passed the bills. So, and the Federal Reserve, you know, they're the ones setting interest rates. So I believe the economy is doing well. I think it looks really good, actually. Earnings have been coming in stronger than expected. Average earnings reports are showing over 8% earnings growth. A lot of companies are surprising to the upside on both revenue and earnings. So the economy overall is doing well, and that's reflected in the stock market. And unfortunately, the people on the lower end of the income scale, they're always the first ones to get hurt because they have the least discretionary income left over when they get, you know, when they get paid after they pay their bills. So if there's a little bit of inflation, they're always going to feel it first, no question about it. But it is not hitting the majority of the economy because remember, if you get upset about inflation, maybe you should talk to your neighbor and say, stop spending so doggone much money. All right. Guys, this economy is driven by consumer spending. Consumer spending. That's me and you and the guy next door and the woman across the street. We're spending too much money. That's why there's inflation. Start saving some of that money, stop spending so much, and inflation will come down. All right. So it's all of us working together is the point I'm trying to get at. It's everybody, in my opinion, is responsible. Unless you didn't spend a dollar. If you haven't spent any money, then you're not responsible for any inflation. All right. But the fact is, it's too many dollars chasing too few goods. That's the textbook definition of inflation. So when people cut back a little bit on their spending, that's when the economy will slow down. But the fact is, as long as they're working, I think they're going to keep on spending. And so until I start to see a pickup in unemployment, I personally don't believe that we're going into recession anytime soon. There's just no evidence. There's no real evidence to support that.
And again, those are the kinds of things. You're right, but it becomes a very political issue. But someone who is not political, or at least doesn't seem to be, is William Powell. He is the Fed chair, and he's got some thoughts on, you know, when that interest rate will come down.
My colleagues and I remain squarely focused on our dual mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices for the American people. The economy has made considerable progress toward our dual mandate objectives. Inflation has eased substantially over the past year, while the labor market has remained strong. And that's very good news. But inflation is still too high. Further progress in bringing it down is not assured, and the path forward is uncertain. We are fully committed to returning inflation to our 2% goal. Restoring price stability is essential to achieve a sustainably strong labor market that benefits all. Today, the FOMC decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings, though at a slower pace.
So, I mean, again, that's really not anything more than what he said in the past.
Right.
But now, I mean, with the market this week, Kevin, and now I'm seeing, well, maybe they'll raise it in September. Maybe, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got speculation. Everybody's wondering what the heck's going on.
There is. And I think there's far too much focus on Fed policy and interest rates.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, the focus should be on earnings, revenue. That's EPS, earnings per share, that's what drives, you know, the fundamentals. That's what I'm saying we should focus on in the stock market. And yes, there are some, if you look at, you know, there's a lot of talk about it being overvalued, the Magnificent Seven and so on, and that's
right.
the big seven tech stocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which all of them, I want to say all of them except for Tesla, is still doing fantastically well. And in fact, if you look at their valuations, they're basically like NVIDIA. You know, one of the top performers in the market this year, I think it's tripled for the year, all right? But if you look at its valuation, it's lower now than it was a year ago, all right? Even though the stock is up significantly, the valuation is lower. And I'm talking about the price-to-earnings ratio is lower now than it was a year ago just because their earnings have been going through the roof. They've been knocking the cover off the ball repeatedly. And next week, it's coming up again, May 22nd. Mark your calendar. That's when NVIDIA announces their latest quarterly results. I guarantee you one thing, it will move the market, right? Hopefully, it'll move it higher. And for full disclosure, I am a shareholder in NVIDIA, and I'm hoping it moves higher. But let me tell you something, guys, if it doesn't, if it takes a hit, I am more than likely going to be buying more shares. Now I'm not the person that, now let me mention something. When there's a big surprise earnings-wise, whether it's on the upside or the downside, there's something that some traders employ called the three-day rule, all right? The three-day rule means you sit on your hands for 3 days after that surprise, okay? You don't get emotional and jump in right when it happens because there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. For instance, anybody that's ever traded on margin, okay, if there's a big negative surprise and a stock takes a hit, the reason they wait 3 days is because anybody that's on margin is going to get a margin call. And that means when you get a margin call, that means your broker calls you up and says, hey, Mr. Jones, you need to add more money to this account or the firm is going to sell and they're going to liquidate some of your holdings because your equity went down when the stock went down and they've got an outstanding loan on the account due to a margin position. Okay. Now, if you don't understand, if you'd like further explanation, just give me a call. I'll be happy to have a conversation with you about it. But that's part of the reason why they say to wait, because when you get a margin call, you've got until settlement date to cover it, right, which gives you 2 days, 3 days, depending on where we're at. You know, we're switching to a two-day settlement. We're not there yet, but it is going to happen. And so, but part of the reason for waiting is that a person could wait until the day the money's owed, until settlement date, to liquidate his position, right? And so that could cause further downside pressure on the stock. And so a lot of us don't like to jump in, you know, the first day when something takes a hit. We call that trying to catch a falling knife, which most people don't recommend,
like
right?
No, I guess so.
It could wind up very badly. All right. So,
yeah.
So just take a breath, take a pause. When you see something, you say, you know what? This looks like a fantastic buy. Maybe it is. Sometimes it'll work. Sometimes it'll bounce right back. But I've had a lot more success just slowing down a little bit. You don't have to pull that trigger immediately. You can wait a day, 2 days, you know, maybe not do it at all. But just ask yourself if you need to jump in right away when you see a big change in the market. And by the way, that's the same on the upside. If you see a big upside surprise, for instance, one of the stocks that I own is called AppLovin. Symbol is APP, Apple, you know, I don't know, Paul, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
APP, it's been one of the best performers in the stock market for the year. It is very volatile, not for the faint of heart. They came out with a big earnings surprise last week. Stock was up big time. I think it was up between 15 and 20%. I'm like, wow, this looks great. And I was tempted to buy more, right? Because it jumped so much. But then I reminded myself, no, let's think about that 3-day rule. Let's wait a little bit, let it calm down, all right? And let this thing settle down a little bit before jumping in. And guess what? It's come back in. It's come back down. And so now I've been rewarded for waiting because if I'd have bought it, I'd already be down on that position, right?
Man, yeah, right.
So take a look at what the sequence you're going through in terms of how you make a decision to move, you know, to buy or sell, right? And then step back and ask yourself if you need to make that move immediately. Or maybe you let it settle down a little bit, let the volume slow down. Maybe that'll give you a better idea, or maybe it'll give you a better entry point. So a lot of times it does help, and AppLovin is a perfect example.
All right, very good. 800-975-6717 if you want to reach out to Kevin. You can find him there. Also, you can find him on the web, silverleaffinancial.com. That's his website. And you can actually connect to Kevin right there on that homepage. You can send him an email. There's a lot of great information there. You keep us, really keep us abreast of things that are going on. And again, it's what do we say? It's robust.
Robust. Oh, I like that word. That's a good word.
Yeah.
You know what? And Steve, I appreciate that. And guys, by all means, check out the website. We're always putting up new content, fresh content. We've got active blogs that we update all the time, update them every week. We've got a lot of articles on IRAs and retirement planning. We've got videos. We've got all sorts of resources that are available to you free of charge. So by all means, you know, please take a look at it. Check it out. And by the way, I've also got a link. You'll see in the bottom right corner of the website, you're going to see a little bubble. That's from Calendly, and this you guys might know, it's a scheduling app. So you don't even have to talk to me to schedule an appointment. You can do it directly on my website through the Calendly. Just click that button. It'll pull up my calendar, and it's just to set up a 15-minute phone call. That's it, 15-minute phone call. You can schedule it right there, and then we can talk on the phone for a few minutes. And then you see if you know what, yeah, you'd like to spend a little time, talk a little bit deeper, get a little more in-depth, and we can schedule a face-to-face meeting if you'd like to. But there's no obligation. There's no cost. So you know, take a look. I think you'll like it.
Great. And that's silverleaffinancial.com. Before we get into this this Gallup poll, which is pretty interesting stuff, I got to ask you, Roaring Kitty is back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's your take on that? I mean, that was fun to watch for a couple of days. I got nothing invested in it, obviously, because I don't care.
No, I have absolutely nothing invested in it. I think it's a joke. I think it actually disappoints me a little bit, if I'm being honest, because there's absolutely no fundamentals behind it. There's nothing behind it. This guy, I can't think of his name. I don't know what his name is, but he's a young guy that, for some reason, the market decided a few years ago, some people decided that they would follow what he talks about or what he recommends. And in this case, all he did was tweet a picture. There's no language, no verbiage, no words, just a picture that showed a person leaning forward in their chair. That's it. And that caused a whole bunch of people to go out and start buying GameStop and AMC and a few others. They ran them through the roof. And guys, if you're on the right side of that trade, then theoretically you could make some quick money. But man, there is nothing behind it. There's no fundamentals there, in my opinion, at all behind that. And so I don't, it's, you know, they put it in the meme stock category. Now there are algorithms. There are some really rich guys that have said, you know what, it might be ridiculous, but I don't care. I'll make some money on it if I can. And so they've set up algos that monitor social media and they watch for things like this. And so these guys can move very, very, very quickly. So if you're in these stocks, you need to look at them as a trade. Don't, in my opinion, you should look at it as a trade, not as a long-term holding, because they're all over the place. So I don't know what caused it, Steve, or why this person, you know, why they follow
Keith
this person.
Keith Gill, that's his name, Keith Gill.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, it seems crazy to me just because of the picture, and I still don't know how they knew from this picture which stock he was, you know, which stock was he even talking about a stock. Maybe he just saw a picture of an old girlfriend on right?
Maybe.
I don't know how they came to that conclusion. It's baffling to me. So I'm going to stick with doing it the old-fashioned way. I'm going to do my research. I'm going to look at the fundamentals. I'm going to look at the charts, and that's what's worked for me. So I say find what works for you and stick with it. And if following something like that works, more power to you.
Right?
But it's not for everybody.
No. Not for, well, and again, you know, and this can have an impact on retirees, right? I mean, it can impact their investment portfolio.
Yes.
If they're, you know, I mean, again, just because of the volatility, it can cause some trouble.
It can cause some serious trouble, and that's why, especially if you're retired, because the theory when you're younger and you're working is that if you lose some money, it's okay because you're still working, you can make the money back. That's the theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're retired, you know, you don't have that ongoing income coming in from a job. Maybe you have other sources of income, but the advice that we typically give somebody retired is to be very careful, you know, on these speculative investments, because if you take a big loss, it could derail that retirement, right? So if you are in retirement and you're trading these meme stocks or things like that, and you're doing it, some people call it fun money, or they equate it to gambling, you know, where you say, I'm just taking a small piece, I got a couple grand or whatever it might be, and I'm going to play around with it. And that's fine if you can lose that money and you've got that risk tolerance. But if you can't lose it all without you know, so in other words, I'm saying if you could lose the entire amount and it doesn't cause you any trouble at all in your life, then fine, have fun if that's what you want to do with it. But if you're not in that position, you need to be really careful because you can lose a lot of money very quickly. And guys, there's a million ways to lose money in the stock market.
Sure there are.
All right, you really don't need to find another one, okay?
Yeah, no sense sourcing that out.
No, there's plenty of ways to lose money in the stock market. So I would, you know, try to stick to the bread and butter. And if you're not sure how to select stocks, then you need to give me a call. I'll be happy to do it for you. I'm happy to show you my track record. I'm happy to show you what I've done for other clients. And I've got a handful of them that are willing to talk to you one-on-one without me even being on the phone. So if you'd like to find somebody, you know, that can help you out with these things, I'd certainly be happy to talk to you. You know, so earlier, though, we were talking about inflation. We all know inflation has hit. I think part of the reason we're feeling the hit of inflation so much now is because we really didn't have any for the last 20 years. All right?
Right.
We had such little inflation. I think that's really why anybody that's I usually say like mid-30s or younger, because as they've never, you know, in their adult life when they were paying attention to the outside world, they've never seen anything higher than really 0% interest rates. Right. So if you're used to seeing nothing but zero, then pretty much anything above that is going to look like a lot. But for some of us that have been around a little longer, some of us that remember interest rates in the 1990s, I started in the business in 1990. Go back and look at the 10-year treasury, look at the bond interest rates in the early 90s. Guys, they were higher than they are now. And if you remember what the 90s did, it was a fantastic stock market, right? Fantastic. So I personally am of the opinion, I don't personally believe that these rates are that restrictive. I don't. Because if you look back in history, I think the 75-year average for the 10-year treasury is about 4.8. And right now it's about 4.4, all right? So if you look at the long-term average, our rates are lower than they were historically, not higher. It's only the last 15 to 20 years that we're higher. So I'm going to say that last 15 years was the abnormal period, and really what we've done is gone back to being normal, not to restrictive, to being normal. And so I think what I'm saying is I think you want to get used to rates being where they are, okay?
Right.
Get used to them being where they are. They're not that bad, right? Steve, we talked about it last week or a couple weeks, right, about the first mortgage you got on a house.
74,250. Yeah, 12.5%.
12.5%. That was
good.
Right? And that was considered good at that time. Right? Yeah. And so now people are freaking out over the 7-8%, which I said, again, I understand it because you were looking at 4%, 3% not that long ago.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's quite a bit off of that. That's why I said when you come off of zero, everything looks high. Okay? But if you look in the rearview mirror and look at where they've been historically, the rates, I think, are pretty normal right now.
Well,
and
yeah.
I hope they stay here. It's nice to earn some money on a money market for once.
Well, one of the things that I found interesting, a story about the numbers, and this is part of that Gallup poll, 41% of folks say that inflation is the biggest problem. 35% said it last year, and 32% back in 2022. But here, and again, that just goes through COVID. Right, that just goes through the pandemic.
Yes, exactly.
So now, if you go back to, pre-2022, in 2008, 18%. And then you go 2005, it was 10%. So again,
yes.
it just mirrors what's going on in the world.
It does, and that's the key. I'm glad you said world. Okay, that's the thing, guys. This isn't a domestic issue, all right? In other words, if inflation was caused by our president or the past president or by our representatives, any of our politicians, then why would it be spread around the world the way that it is? Why is Argentina seeing 300% inflation? Okay, why the European countries still have far more inflation than we do, and if you look at other parts of the world, the U.S. is actually doing the best of the developed countries in terms of combating inflation and getting it down. It's a worldwide phenomena because of COVID, because of the pandemic. That's what hit everybody around the world. It shut down shipping. It shut down production. It shut down civilization and society, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, can any of us ever remember any other period in our lives like that?
Never.
Never. It has never happened before. And so that's what's caused the inflation, the pandemic. All right. That's why it's affecting all the countries around the world. But the U.S. is getting out of it. We're recovering more quickly than every other developed country that's out there. And the easiest thing to do is just compare us. Just look at Europe, Western Europe. Look at Germany, France, Italy, Spain. They all still have higher inflation than we do. And so I think their economy hasn't grown as much as ours has. So we're still the economic engine of the world. And I think the dollar is going to continue to be the reserve currency. I know there's a lot of talk out there about, the dollar not being the currency and people that sell gold, and also people that sell Bitcoin, by the way, trying to freak people out about their greenback. I think the dollar is perfectly fine. I've heard the same BS for the last 25, 30 years. And I just don't see any evidence. There's no evidence of it. It's gotten a little bit less control, but I believe the U.S. dollar is still used in over 60% of all worldwide trade. And so that's a pretty significant piece that I'm willing to hang my hat on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's interesting with this survey, this Gallup poll, it talks about some of the other things that were on the list: excessive debt, 8%; healthcare expenses, 7%; insufficient funds or low wages, 7%; gas and energy costs, 6%. I mean, again, the only thing people can see is at the grocery store, right? And I mean, am I fair? Is this right in me saying we've got to think bigger than that?
I think we need to think bigger, and I think that it's like I really think it's like shock, you know, because you're coming out of such a low rate environment for such a long time, and like I said, we've got I don't know how many millions of people there are in the U.S. that are, let's say, between the ages of, you know, I don't know, 20 and 35, but that whole segment, they've never had, you know, unless they were looking at stocks and interest rates when they were like 5 years old. All right, which most of us weren't.
Well, no,
right? They've never been conscious of an interest rate environment like we're in right now, right? And so to me, it's a perception thing. It's that's why I said to me, rates are really normal now, and I'm talking about a historical perspective going back 75 years. I'm not talking about just the last 20 years, okay? And I think if you look at the last 20 years, I think you're doing yourself a disservice in many different ways. For instance, from the stock market perspective, if you just look at the last 20 years, you could be setting yourself up for unexpected, you know, thinking returns are going to be a lot better than maybe they will be. And because they've been exceptional, especially the last 10 years. And so I think that, you know, we go through these cycles, and it's important to remember they're cycles, right? And so I think that if you look at the case of inflation, no question, we're all feeling it, all right? But you want to be smart with your money. If you're feeling the effects of inflation, you should not be going to Starbucks for coffee, right? You shouldn't be buying the latest set of, you know, $300 sneakers. And you want to watch where you're spending your money, right?
Yeah.
And so there's all kinds of ways you can save money. You can clip coupons. You can load up on gift cards when they're giving you a deal. That's something I do. I get more excited about saving money than I do anything else these days, I think. And it's because once you realize the value of that dollar, you realize that you want more of them, right? You don't want to waste it, and so I think that that focusing on the inflation is just one part of the equation, all right? And it's very important we focus on that, especially as you're putting together a retirement plan, right? We want to make sure that when you retire, you've got a budget that allows you to increase your income, so that as you're going through retirement, you can deal with inflation because it's going to be there. We don't know how much it's going to hit us, right? But we know prices are going higher over time, which is why I also suggest as you go into retirement to do everything you can to get your expenses as low as they can possibly be, because again, they're only going higher over time. And so ideally that means wiping out your debt, not having any debt. And that's debt of any kind. All right. And personally, I think that's the best strategy because that gives you the best odds of having Social Security cover the majority of your bills.
Right.
And so that's what I'm aiming for, and I think a lot of people could benefit by doing that.
Sure. Again, a segment that we probably won't get to today, but it's things that we have to be aware of. And at the bottom of the list, it says debt. Don't have any.
Debt. That's right. Don't have. Just don't do it. Okay.
Yeah. Well. Just here's the thing, Kevin. I mean, so if I'm just inching to retirement, I've got, you know, good portfolio, it's been in place for a while, a second opinion can make a big difference, especially now when things feel kind of fluid.
No question about it, guys. I just had a case, you know, where I was another advisor was talking to somebody that I'm talking to, and they were giving them incorrect information, and it's difficult because they are a licensed, registered advisor, but what they're telling them is just not true. And so you want to be careful and double. I think second opinion is a great move because sometimes people make mistakes, right? Sometimes people have an agenda that they don't share with you, okay? And what I'm talking about is if you're working with somebody that's a stockbroker and they don't have an insurance license, then they're probably going to tell you don't touch an annuity. And it might not have anything to do with the merits of the annuity. It has to do with the fact that they can't get paid if they sold you one. And so just like an insurance guy, a lot of them will say, why would you ever touch the stock market? You can lose all your money. You should invest in these annuities. And it's because he or she wouldn't get paid. You know, they can't deal with stocks. They don't get paid for stocks. And so unfortunately, sometimes, you know, they're touting their, in this business, we say they're touting their own book, right? They're pushing their own book, right? And so if you hear somebody raving about a particular stock, maybe you want to ask him if he already owns it, right? Because maybe he's just trying to drive up the price because he already owns it, or she. And so, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that aren't always putting their best foot forward. So I think it's important you get a second opinion, because somebody else, you know, might be able to point out something, point out a weakness or an area that you need to strengthen in your portfolio. And I think it's, you know, and if somebody gives you a second opinion, you don't have to act on it, right?
Right, of course.
But at least you got another opinion, you got another perspective. And if nothing else, maybe they will just reinforce the fact that you're on track and that you're, that I wouldn't change a thing. You know, I've met several people that I sat down with and I said, I think you're fine. There's really nothing I can do. And, you know, I'd be happy to help you out, but I'm not going to tell you there's something wrong when there's nothing that I can see that's wrong. And so I think it's important to find somebody that you trust, that you know has your back. And sometimes you need to talk to multiple people before you find that person.
Sure. Well, again, one of the things that you can do with a portfolio is take that deep dive and really dig into it and see what's in there. And again, like you said, sometimes maybe it doesn't need any help. Sometimes maybe just a little thing can make a big difference.
No question. No question. You know, a lot of times I've mentioned the story. I've met a client many years ago that had seven different mutual funds. He got them from a big, you know, wirehouse brokerage firm. It was, you know, I can tell you now, it was A.G. Edwards, which is no longer around. They mm-hmm. were taken over by somebody. But it was a big, well-respected firm at the time. This was around late 90s. And he retired in the late 90s, which we had this great bull market. This broker got him seven different mutual funds from different fund families, okay? And he bought them all Class A shares. And anybody that really knows what I'm talking, if you really follow me here, okay, this guy invested $700,000 with this broker. If he put them all in the same fund family, the client would have paid a lot less commission. He'd have paid a lot smaller load because of breakpoints. You get discounts for bigger orders. So you pay less on a $100,000 ticket than you would on a $10,000 investment. Okay.
Okay. Sure.
And you pay even less for $250,000, and you pay even less for $500,000. The broker split it up because he was trying to make more money for himself. But the other thing, the way that he screwed this client is he bought him seven different mutual funds that were all buying the same stocks. They were all buying large company growth stocks, which back in the 90s was companies like Cisco, right? CSCO. And some of those stocks did really well, don't get me wrong. But what happened to this client, the reason I met him, is because in 2000, 2001, and 2, the market crashed. His portfolio lost over $200,000.
Oh, man.
From $700,000, okay? And this is after he retired, right? He retired from Caterpillar, okay? And in Illinois, I was in Illinois at the time. And so I did an analysis. I can go through, and we call it a portfolio X-ray, and we go through and we analyze it, and I analyze it, and I see what's inside, and I look underneath the hood. So, you need to look underneath the hood. You can't just look at the fund. You need to look at what the manager's buying. What does he own, right? And I can run something. I can run some reports that'll show me any intersection. So if you've got seven funds that are all buying the same thing, I'll be able to show it to you. And that's how we can help. That's how I can help you make sure that you really are diversified, which means you have to have things moving in different directions right at the same time. That's how you're diversified. If it's all moving the same direction at the same time, you're really not diversified. And that's why this guy took such a big loss, because when big tech stocks got hit, he took a massive loss.
Wow.
And so that's something that I'm able to spot right away. But most investors, you know, they don't do this for a living, and they don't know what to look for. And so unfortunately, this broker took advantage of him. And it costs the client a lot of money. And
well, that's
where you can help.
Well, yeah, and again, that's where you come in. You're independent fiduciary. You've got a lot of experience. You've been here a time or two. And, yeah, so just give Kevin a call. It's 800-975-6717 or silverleaffinancial.com. And, again, Kevin, again, I love your insight on this. It's just interesting to look at things differently than what you're supposed to think. You know what I mean? I don't know if that
makes
sense.
It does to me. I guess it's very important that you just get a second perspective, a second opinion.
Right.
Especially if you haven't had anyone else look at the portfolio, you know, other than you and your existing advisor, because they'll give you different ideas and it shouldn't cost you a thing. I'm happy to give you a second opinion. Won't cost you a dime. There's no obligation. I just want to do everything I can to help my clients so that I can help them get to where they want to be without taking more risk than they should. And so that's really what I'm trying to do. I'd be happy to give you a second opinion. Just reach out. You can just send me an email on my website, silverleaffinancial.com, and I'll be happy to follow up with you.
information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.